FM. Keith Murphy.
This is your time.
Andy Fales.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
Just a bit outside.
On 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Hour two of the Murph and Andy Show. We're glad you're with us here. If you missed any of hour one, you can find it where you find your podcasts, powered by Fairway. Alongside Andy Fales, I'm Keith Murphy. Andrew Downs presents Trending Iowa.
Time to find out what's trending Iowa.
Trending Iowa high school state football semifinals are underway at the Uni Dome. This morning featured an instant classic in eight players. Remsen beat Montezuma 108-94. 202 points is the highest scoring game in state history. Right now in the second eight player semi, Don Bosco leads Fremont Mills 14-12.
Oh, that's like the steel curtain defense against the Purple People Eaters there. Right. So many records set. I don't even know all the records that were set. In hour one, we went over the box score, which is just crazy. The game, if you haven't heard this, that game, the first one, the 108-94,
yes,
took more than 4 hours. A high school
football
game.
What a great story to be able to tell from now on. That could make a book someday. It'll make great stories for grandkids, and that'll be one of those things where somebody stumbles across the box score years from now and starts looking through it and just...
Wait a minute, what?
Just what? Can you believe this happened? Somebody's doing a segment called More on a radio show 50 years from now. They'll find that and they'll be like, on this day in 2020...
So like, I scored.
Wasn't that the year of that pandemic? Yeah, that's right. Well, there was something else weird that happened too. There was a football game.
My team scored 90 points in a game once. And we lost.
Yeah. I was a quarterback.
I scored 7 touchdowns.
Led us to 94 points in a game. I threw for like 800 yards and 14 touchdowns. Wow. How much did you win by? Well, we lost.
Trending Iowa. Iowa comes in at number 6 in the initial college basketball coaches poll of the season. Just like the AP poll, the Hawkeyes are the top-ranked team in the Big Ten.
We haven't talk much about this, and there'll be so many weeks ahead where we will, but with these numbers just climbing and climbing and climbing, and without college basketball having any kind of clear plan to do something if these numbers don't take a turn, which experts say they're not going to anytime soon. As a Hawkeye fan, are you just really starting to worry about this? Just, I mean, as a sports fan, I know there are bigger concerns.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yes, I'm very worried.
A top 10 team.
I thought, you know, a few months ago we were talking about the possibility of bubbling and, you know, could you do some regional bubbles so you get some non-conference games, you know, get all the Iowa schools, maybe throw in a Creighton and a South Dakota State or a Missouri up here and then bubble the conference maybe a couple of different times. You have that nice long month of Christmas vacation where you could bubble an entire conference and knock out most of a conference season and then bubble again for the NCAA tournament or a Big Ten tournament. And that's all gone out the window.
And there's certainly time to plan. Yeah,
yeah.
I think like many of us, they started to get a false sense of this is all going a lot better. But what's going on now was predicted by most epidemiologists that when we get into November, it's going to start coming back strong, and we're not even to the worst of what's predicted.
You wonder when, if at all, we will come to the fact that this is here to stay, at least for a while, and we need to, rather than just wait for it to end, start planning for it to continue.
Because we don't want to be locked down. We don't want to shut down the economy. Mental health and financial health can't afford those things. So we got to do everything else we can.
It feels like right now we're just kind of holding on and hoping a miracle happens.
The states with the highest number of new cases, and granted, a number of these states have a lot of people in them, so it makes sense. But listen to this. Tell me what they have in common other than COVID. Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania.
It's the Big Ten.
They're in the Midwest.
Skip one, and then you add in Iowa. So 8 of the top 9.
Yeah, it is the Big Ten.
Big Ten states.
Upper Midwest, yeah.
Colder, you know, more people going inside. That's the Big Ten, though. New Jersey ended number 16, so even it's not too far down the list. I would guess that they would cut out non-conference games first. And quite frankly, if I'm traveling from Gonzaga, do you want to go play Iowa and South Dakota, the two worst states in the country right now?
You're hoping it changes in a month's time, but right now we don't know.
But again, I feel like we've just been hoping things will change a month from now rather than planning for what a month from now will be like when nothing has changed. It feels like college basketball could have gotten on this a long time ago and maybe not figured it out perfectly, but certainly figured out a way to get a lot of these games in. I mean, they've said, we talked about the ice age if football isn't there. If the NCAA tournament doesn't happen this year, I mean, NCAA basketball is in trouble as an entity. And so you wonder how they kind of let it get this far, where now we're two weeks from yesterday. Yeah, the 25th is when the season opens.
So 2 weeks from today is Thanksgiving.
We're less than 2 weeks away from college basketball starting on these campuses in all these states, Andy, that you just named as the worst hotspots in the country.
We'll be here for the ride. I expect to be here. Yeah, you know something?
I may be in that other studio.
Finally, trending Iowa Masters update here. Paul Casey is your leader. He's 7 under par. He's in the clubhouse. Tiger Woods, 4 under par today. He's in the clubhouse. He is tied for fourth, so keep an eye on that. Could be big weekend numbers for them. Bryson DeChambeau, the favorite, just 2 under par. Zach Johnson, 2 under through three holes. He just got his day started, but off to a good start.
Well, the good part is it looks like the Masters. I mean, there's not the azaleas, as we said. You don't see the bright flowers, but it's a beautiful course. It's cooler than we're used to seeing, but people are in short sleeves. It looks like the Masters golf tournament, and the biggest single factor maybe in the history of any sport for changing television viewing, like Tiger Woods contending at the Masters versus not contending, probably doubles the audience.
Absolutely.
I mean, there have been other huge needle movers as far as like, oh, he's playing, I'm watching that. But no, I've never seen anything like
that. Could take it from an event that many people are not aware is going on this month.
Yeah.
To being the number one viewing of the weekend.
Yeah, people who don't care about sports. If Tiger's in contention on Sunday, they will turn this on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Could Tiger beat the NFL on Sunday?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Probably but not. It's enough to make me pause because,
which is incredible because normally you wouldn't pause.
No,
with anything to do with the NFL.
He'd be going for his 16th major.
I hope we can find out.
I certainly would turn over to see what happens. And some people, I think, less than ever, but for a long time, there's significant percentage of people that watch Tiger the way people watch Notre Dame or the Cowboys or the Yankees, just to hate, to hope he loses or to be angry. But I think most of that has changed late in his career here. People were really rooting for him last year. Not all people, most people.
That's it for Trending Iowa.
I remember that embarrassingly awful idea that some PR person thought, Tigers, stand up here and apologize in front of your mother to the whole world. Remember that uncomfortable press conference?
Really awkward.
It's like, yeah, this guy had a really bad marriage and made some terrible decisions. He didn't kill anybody. I mean, do we need to have the lady from Game of Thrones march through yelling shame? That was just so uncomfortable.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame. 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 And Cersei just had to walk through the streets.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
With a body double. A total body double.
No tats.
Yeah. Right.
That was the giveaway.
Well, it was at least one of them. That actually was not the body double that struck me first. But, yeah, that was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Lena. What is her name?
Lena. No. No. She was a girl.
Headley.
Yeah.
Lena Headley.
Black Friday, Iowa Eddie. State Eddie. Will play. Enough. Black Friday, Iowa State will play Texas at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Man, a day after Thanksgiving is shaping up to be one of... But is this in some of this direct competition with Iowa and Nebraska.
Iowa kicks off at noon. Yeah. So
okay.
Oh, man. You get the first quarter Come and a half man. Or so of Iowa State, Texas.
Now, an hour, though, it could create a DVR theater opportunity
that
there.
That could be a great day or not.
And yeah. there will be college basketball on that day. We don't have schedules exactly. I know Drake is playing somebody down in Manhattan or might be.
Yeah.
I guess everything is tentative at this point.
Yeah. We're all day today. Wild finish last night. College football with a probability of losing at more than 99%. Western Michigan stuns Toledo.
It squirts free. Western Michigan may have recovered. I think Caps may have cradled it with his arm. See, Toledo may have touched it there.
They may have.
And if Toledo touches it, now you're well past the 45-yard line.
Broncos will clock the ball here. They don't clock the ball. They throw it in the end zone for a touchdown. They don't clock it. They fake the clock. They fake the clock playing through a touchdown pass. Wide open in the end zone. The Eskridge and the Broncos take the lead with 15 seconds left to go in the game. Are you kidding me?
I don't know how much of that was planned, but it becomes apparent the receiver at the bottom of the screen has been forgotten about by the Toledo defense. So they faked the spike. And, I mean, this guy, there's no one 20 yards,
no,
maybe 30 yards from him. He's just that wide open. So I don't know if that was planned or if somehow the quarterback just saw, oh, man, nobody's covering him. And that is how the game ends, essentially how the game ends. That was really cool. We have time for another $1,000 handoff. You can text the keyword fun to 200-200 right now for a chance to win $1,000. That's fun to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
The Super Bowl halftime performer has been announced, and it's The Weeknd.
I can feel my face when I'm with you.
I know about three of those, and a couple of them are big, big monster hits, including the last one there.
That's a good tune.
Yeah, I my first reaction to that, I expect that I've seen him on Saturday Night Live, he's an energetic performer. My first reaction to this, I don't think of this as a guy with a body of work that's ready for one of these 12-minute combine your 10 greatest hits type shows.
He hasn't
been
around all that long.
No. But let's get a quickie poll here and see what everyone else thinks.
The NFL's choice of The Weeknd for the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl is inspired, meh, awful, or who the hell is The Weeknd?
It's a meh for me. I mean, I'll keep an open mind. I'll see what it's about. I wouldn't have guessed this, but... I don't know. I don't even know what a halftime show is going to look like this year.
I'm going to try to look on the bright side here, and I'm going to say it's inspired. I think reading the room, this makes sense. This would be good. Super Bowl shows, halftime shows nowadays combine dancing, a lot of lip syncing and auto tune and whatever, lights, and you know, you want to make it kind of look like an impromptu rave, sort of. And I don't think he has to play a million different songs. He can kind of go with longer cuts of the hits that he's got. I'm too old for this music, but it's, you know, really it's aimed at trying to keep younger viewers plugged in or draw mm-hmm. them to it. So I think it's actually a pretty good choice. I think the Super Bowl needs to continue to go away from the old classic bands that, you know, I love these bands, but A, they're over the hill, and B, they just don't fit the room anymore. And they can't really combine stuff together. It just doesn't fit. It's not right to have The Who or even U2. I mean, they just don't, that's not their venue. That's not where they're at their best. This is a good choice for the Super Bowl, I say.
Yeah, I agree.
Made a case.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm excited. We'll see. I think a lot of people will be surprised at how talented this guy is. I think a lot of people who have never heard of him who are voting who the hell is The Weeknd.
Is that getting some votes?
Yes, absolutely.
It's got to be an entertainer.
If they give him a chance. He's a very good singer. I mean, and he's got some really, really good songs.
His voice, and not all the weird stuff, but his voice is often compared to Michael Jackson, who had a great upper range. That last song that sounds like Aha's "Take on Me,"
it's the like beat. 80s.
What's the name of that one?
Blinding Lights. Yeah,
that's Blinding Lights. Yeah. Okay, and I Can't Feel My Face. Jenny loves that song.
Yeah, back.
Isn't that about drug use? Probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Making some educated guesses here.
Probably all about drug use.
A good NFL game tonight, kind of. Colts at Titans. Two good teams. Mm-hmm. Titans are still one of those...
A lot better than the Monday night game.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Jets. Was that Jets-Patriots?
Jets-Patriots.
Ooh, man. Recent record low rating for that game, and really bad ratings for the Sunday night game, mostly because it was over so early.
The Saints and...
Saints and Bucks. Saints are up like 28-0 or something in the first quarter. I think it was 35-0 at the half. So, people tune out. People don't stay up late on a Sunday night when the game is that bad. So Colts and Titans tonight. Cy Young Awards were given out. At one point, I think that was a quickie poll question. Should there be postseason awards when there's only 60 games? The Indian Shane Bieber was unanimous.
Yeah, it's crazy. Another Indian won the Cy Young Award.
Well, Trevor Bauer won for the Reds.
Yeah, he just left the Indians. Yeah, so the Indians, I think the Cardinals have had one Cy Young Award winner in my lifetime. You talk about the Cardinals.
Who would that have been?
One of the best, Chris Carpenter.
Okay.
I think. Talking about one of the probably three best teams in Major League Baseball at the time. Probably the best team in Major League Baseball. I should just go ahead and say that. But the Indians have had five since 2007.
Jeez.
And only one guy's won it twice. Corey Kluber.
These guys leave.
And CC Sabathia won. Cliff Lee won. Kluber, and now the Biebs. This dude, and Trevor Bauer was just with them. What is it? I mean, other teams search forever for aces. These guys just back into them.
They
had Bob Feller.
Able to concentrate. Yeah, they had Bob Feller.
Jeez, and then a whole lot of nothing in between.
Saw some cool snapshots and Veterans Day salutes to Bob Feller. Yeah, I mean, professional athletes who served, he's in that
should be
top of the
one
list.
Of the first that you think of. And so proud of telling that story where he just, as soon as he heard about Pearl Harbor, he went and signed up immediately. Didn't think for a second, oh man, I'm just getting going here in this Major League Baseball career. I'm a budding superstar. I'm going to be making all this money. Didn't think about it for a second.
Yeah, most people...
I know that because he told me that story every time I saw him.
I know he did, and I know he
was
would.
Proud of it. And you just had to sit there and shut up and let him tell the story because he was going to tell it whether you wanted him to or not.
He gave me an autograph.
Yeah, I know, Bob, you already told me that story last night. Interview's over. I mean, he would cut it off there if you didn't let him tell the story.
He gave me an autograph photo of him I didn't even ask for.
Yeah, oh yeah. I was going to say he probably would autograph something that you didn't want him to autograph.
That's fine. It's probably.
I think Round Guy said that one time. I thought it was really funny. He said one of the rarest pieces of sports memorabilia there is an unsigned picture of Bob Feller.
That's a good line. All right, when we come back on the Murph and Andy Show here on 1460 KXNO 106.3 FM, Rob Doster will join us. Who's going to win the big games this weekend? We'll find out. Maybe we'll find out. We think we'll.
SFR.com.
It's easy to save at your local Fairway. Just visit fairway.com and sign up for weekly ad emails. It's a great way to save on high-quality meats, the best produce, and more. Go to fairway.com.
WIWA 23.
It's time for Murph and Andy's Play of the Day.
Broncos will clock the ball here. They don't clock the ball. They throw it in the end zone for a touchdown. They don't clock it. They fake the clock. They fake the clock playing through a touchdown pass. Wide open in the end zone. Diaz wins and the Broncos take the lead with 15 seconds left to go in the game. Are you kidding me?
On 1460 AM and 106.3 FM, this is KXNO.
And that is the play of the day here on the Murph and Andy Show. And Rob Doster from BetRivers.net joins us. And Rob, right off the top here from the play of the day, maybe you can clear this up for us. Was that intended to be a spiked play, and then he sees that no one's covering the receiver, so the quarterback freelances, or was that planned?
I don't know, man, but I like to think that it was something that the quarterback had planned. You know, I just like to think the best of people, man. I want to give the kid credit for being able to come up with that and see it. You know, who was it that did it in the NFL a while? Was it Dan Marino?
Marino against the Jets, I think.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go ahead and say that the kid had a plan. He figured it out. He knew that it was something that was gonna work. So I'm gonna go ahead and give the kid credit for it.
Well, we'll do that too. I like the way you're thinking, Rob. It's a pleasure to have you with us here. How are things going at BetRivers.net?
Oh, they are going great. You know, it's when you're the house, you always win. So I guess that's what I should be telling everybody. But yeah, I mean it's well, man. I mean we're expanding. Sports betting is becoming legal in more and more states, and I think just for the company that's definitely good, but also for people like me that really do enjoy being able to lay a wager down here or there, it's something that I think is good, and it's going to bring money to this country, and that's never a bad thing, especially when you're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, that's been kind of something nice about sports betting, provided that the sports are actually playing. The having sports betting
that's
this year
key. That matters when you're betting on games. The games actually have to take place.
When they weren't going on, the sports gambling was terrible. Yeah, it was not working out well. But once, yeah, this is we've looked at the numbers here in the state of Iowa. People placing bets, and they've just been on a rocket ship straight up. Imagine that's much the case around the country.
Yeah. I mean, everybody loves it. Everybody gets involved with it, and I think the big thing is that it's always going to be there, right? Whether or not it's legal, and maybe this is just because I'm a little bit biased on the conversation, but I do think that it's always going to be there. So the question is whether or not, like, do you want to make it legal, or do you want to make it so that it's more standardized? Do you want to make it so that it's something where instead of having, like, your local neighborhood bookie making the money off of it, it can go into the government and help pay for some of the stuff? You know, there's potholes in my street, right? Do we want to be able to have the fact that I keep losing, making bets, help pay for some of those potholes? Or do you want to have it help pay for the fact that my bookie just got a new 75-inch TV?
Well, if you bet on the eight-player Iowa semifinal today, I hope you took the over. Actually, I hope you're not betting on high school, anybody that might be listening, but the 202 points in one game. That was crazy. Rob Doster from betrivers.net is our guest. And so, Rob, we're glad to have you with us. Really enjoy your analysis, have for a long time. What are you thinking? What are you expecting out of this Iowa-Minnesota football game? It's kind of an intriguing matchup on a Friday night.
So when the line first opened, it was a pick'em, right? And at that point, it seemed to me pretty obvious that you probably want to be on the side of Iowa. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on an Iowa radio station. I do believe that when it comes down to it, in the COVID era of sports, you generally want to steer towards the teams that have not had COVID-related issues when it comes to missing players or having players sit out of practices. Like, because I think that that's something that really hasn't been talked about enough. If you test positive, and you got to sit out for what, 7 days, 10 days, whatever it ends up being, it's not like you're going to the gym and you're staying in shape. You have to isolate from everybody. So how well are you going to stay in shape if you're just stuck in a dorm room or stuck in an apartment or stuck in a house with nothing to do but like push-ups and crunches, like you're not going to be able to stay in shape. So generally speaking, I tend to lean towards the teams that have not had the kind of COVID suspensions. And I think that the public agrees with me because that Iowa line moved all the way to -3.5. I still do like the Hawkeyes side. And my logic for that is really pretty simple. Iowa has a really strong run defense. They're giving up 2.6 yards per carry this season. Last year when they played Minnesota, they gave up just an average of 2.1 yards per carry. And Minnesota, I honestly didn't really realize how good of a year that he's having, but Muhammad Ibrahim, 578 yards and 10 touchdowns in 3 games. I think, guys, you can confirm this for me and tell me if I'm right or wrong, but that seems like it's pretty good. 578 yards, 10 touchdowns in 3 games as a running back. I should probably emphasize that as a running back. So I do think that Iowa's ability to stop the run will take away a lot of what Minnesota wants to be able to do offensively. On the other side of the ball, Iowa's starting to figure out that running game, man. They had 226 yards on the ground against Michigan State, while Minnesota, they play. Apparently Illinois does play football. I just learned that last week when Minnesota played Illinois. I didn't realize that they had a football team in Illinois. I thought it was just basketball. But Illinois had 181 yards on the ground against Minnesota, so I don't think that they can stop the run. It's really just that simple to me, man. You know, one team can run the ball, and it's going up against a defense that can't stop the run. The other team runs the ball and is going up up against a defense that can stop the run.
Do you expect at this point where we sit here today, do you expect the Iowa State Cyclones in the Big 12 championship game?
I mean, if there's ever going to be a year where they get it done, it should be the year where they have a win over Oklahoma, where Texas isn't necessarily as good as Texas has been in the past, where Oklahoma State looks like they are beatable. You know, the great thing about this Iowa State team is the hype that, at least from a guy sitting in New Jersey, the hype that it seemed like they had heading into the year was they had a quarterback that was going to end up being in the mix for, you know, maybe good enough to be in the conversation for a Heisman, maybe a finalist, maybe if everything works out well. You know, Brock Purdy could be a guy that could end up being someone that could be in that conversation, right? And here we are 7 games into the season, and that's not the guy that's end up having that kind of a year and having that kind of a push. So when you're telling me that you got a team that has a guy where everyone loved the quarterback heading into the year, and now everyone loves a running back halfway through the season, that seems like a pretty good team, right?
Right.
So I do think that if it's ever going to happen for Iowa State, it's going to be this year. And trust me, it's very awkward for me to try to have to, like, talk about an Iowa State team winning, first of all. Second of all, having it be football. And third of all, not having to talk Iowa State basketball fans off the ledge. So it's new ground, and I'm excited to see what they're able to do. And if you're ever going to get it done, it might as well be this year, right?
Right. Rob Doster is with us. Final thought for you here, Rob. We've talked a little bit about this basketball season that's coming up, and as you know, there's so much excitement for the Iowa Hawkeyes in particular in this state, with 7 players coming back with starting experience, including the only unanimous AP All-American, Luca Garza, on the preseason team. So there's all this excitement, but we were talking in hour one of our show here today. We're a little disappointed that in all this time, it doesn't seem like college basketball has come up with any kind of backup plan to this surging pandemic that is doing just what it was predicted to do, which is get worse in November and December. So starting to worry about that a little bit. How worried should we be?
They're going to try to play it. They're going to push through. They don't really have an option otherwise. You know, when there is no company on this planet that could lose out on hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, when it comes to things that happen in March and the NCAA tournaments and the conference tournaments, the way that college basketball did last year when they didn't have March, and the way that they will this year if they don't have a basketball season. So I don't know how the NCAA can function, just flat out. I don't know how it can stay in existence if they don't have an NCAA tournament. That pays for about 75% to 80% of the NCAA's operating budget is made off of the money that they get from CBS and Turner from the NCAA tournament. So it has to happen if college basketball and NCAA sports are going to continue to exist. Now, it's not going to be pretty. You know, there's with the way that it's working right now, like, so Iona in New York just had a positive test for a support staff member, not a coach, not anyone that's on the court with the players, not a player themselves, a support staff member, like a video coordinator or maybe a GA or something like that. And they're shutting it down for 2 weeks. We're still 12 days out from the start of the season, and they just canceled their first four games of the year. So if we're going to have those kind of penalties and those kind of that much time off for one positive test for somebody that is not even a part of the inner circle, that is not even the tier one member of that program, then I don't know how you're going to be able to have this season in any kind of like way, shape, or form that makes sense, that worked, where you have any kind of consistency. So if it doesn't happen, I'll tell you this much. I really do think that Dan Gavitt and the people that run the basketball side of things are generally smart and generally really, really good at what they do. But given that they've had 8 months to come up with an answer and 3 months since we all saw the disaster of what was the Big Ten announcing that they weren't going to have football and the Pac-12 announcing that they weren't going to have football, they've had more than enough time to figure out a way to make this work. And if they can't find a way to pull this off, like how are they allowed to keep their jobs? Well, it probably won't even matter because college sports won't exist anyways if they can't pull this thing off.
The current model does seem unsustainable. We saw the
doesn't seem like they've learned. Football.
Just here in Iowa with high school sports,
setting yourself up to fail.
We saw the evolution over time of how they had to change the mitigation, or they couldn't keep teams competing. You know, it originally
contact tracing was out of hand.
Yeah, you had to get to where you weren't shutting it down for any given situation. So, Rob, just to follow up, there's if say this season has trouble getting off the ground, can you see a scenario where it just becomes like, okay, well, the one thing we have to save is the NCAA tournament, so we'll just everybody's invited and that's the one thing we're going to try to get off the ground?
I would not be surprised if they tried to make something happen like that. Like they have to hold some kind of tournament at the end of the year this year to be able to make the money that they're going to make from CBS and Turner. If I was in charge of all of this stuff, if I was the one making the decisions, I would get rid of all non-conference play. I understand how difficult that is when it comes to being able to kind of like cross-pollinate the data set, so to speak, and be able to give you these net ratings and these KenPom rankings that will allow you to determine who are the best teams when teams don't necessarily play all that many games against each other in conference play. I understand why you need it. I don't think that having those non-conference games is more important than actually having a season. If it was me running things, I would say, okay, everybody is just playing league games. And what we're going to do is we're going to set aside four different weekends, and we're going to have a quarter of each team go to these different sites during these weekends, bring everybody there, make sure everybody's tested negative, make sure everybody's clean, and then have everybody play like a three-game round robin on like a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and have that happen every 2 weeks. So that after it's done, then you have basically like a 10-day window to make sure that nobody has spread the virus, nobody has caught the virus. You're able to I don't want to say like past it, but you're able, if something does happen, you're able to get through the worst of it and you're not going to miss that many games. And it also creates a window for you to move things back in case you do have to have cancellations or postponements. And I think you just do that with conference games. And if you got to play 20 games in league play for every league, you do it. If you got to play 25 games against just conference opponents, you do it. I think that's probably the best way to make this thing happen, because the reality is, if you are, let's just say if you're Iowa, right? And why are you going to want to play programs that don't have the budget to be able to pay for the testing that Iowa was able to pay for with the Big Ten money that they have, right? Like, to me, that is the biggest concern when it comes to these teams. If you're playing someone from a small conference that doesn't have the ability to say, okay, we know that we've been tested every day this week, so we know that no one on our team is positive, then why do you want to risk it? All it takes is one positive test for Luka Garza to blow up what should be a memorable season for Iowa. I don't know why you would take the risk. And if you look at it, and this is kind of off topic, but if you look at some of these other programs, like take Baylor, for example, right? Baylor's playing this unbelievably tough non-conference schedule. Well, part of the reason they're playing a schedule that is as difficult and against as many good teams as they have on their non-conference schedule is because they want to make sure that the teams that they play are the ones that are the most likely to not have of the virus, and they're most likely to know if they do have someone test positive. They're most likely to know as quick as possible, and they're able to contact trace, and they're able to get everybody that has that positive test off the court, and so they're not going to be spreading it to that program. So I don't know how it's going to work with non-conference play, and if it was me, I'd just shut all of that down, play everything in league play, and if that means that some mid-major conferences can't play, well, you know what? That's it's not fair, but life isn't fair. So that's just what I would do if I was the one in charge.
You've got some guys nodding their heads here because we agree, and I think there's been too much hoping that this just all goes away. It's not going away right now. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Worse than it's ever been.
All right, Rob, it's a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you for all that. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Rob Doster of BetRivers.net. That makes sense.
It
and
does.
we've said that before. It's like you've got to protect what's most important right now. And even as he was talking, and this was when we weren't having the surge we are right now, but we said right up until Iowa State hosted Louisiana, we're like, the one stick in the spokes here could be that Louisiana they don't have the money to be testing all the time. You could get a Thursday notice that game is off, or a Friday notice. It wasn't, but you saw a lot of the non-Power 5 conferences, those games didn't take place because the testing snuck up on them.
I don't know that the push on through at all costs mentality is a winning one, though. I mean, where they just have to have the season because they can't afford not to.
Right.
How's that going to work out? Well, they just have to have it. So what? I mean, you're just going to hold it no matter what? They're not going to do that. They're going to have to.
They're gonna have to
roll with punches, man. They can't just bull in the china shop this thing.
Look how much money Iowa and Iowa State say they've lost, and they're actually having football seasons now.
Yeah. I know, but fans, they're still open at this point. I mean,
I know.
I feel like it just, well, you know, you don't have a college football season, you don't have an NCAA basketball season. You're gonna just have to shut the doors. They're not gonna shut the doors. I know that this is going to be absolutely awful, but. You really? I mean, you think you can just push on through?
You know what the most underrated
man?
The whole thing
sounds just like nobody really has a plan.
Yeah, and they should have one.
And if you've got a plan, it's got to have so many contingency plans that it's like it's not like even a one plan. It's like just a big thing all connected with springs and bubble gum and bailing wire.
The most underrated or underappreciated at the time, just for the sheer audacity of making a point, has to be when Jamie Pollard just drags C.Y. Stevens into the conversation just to show all the people that were up in arms about that.
Okay, yeah, you want to make us lose all this money? Guess what? We're gonna have to close.
Yeah. Just like suddenly a lot of people started caring about all this loss.
Just all
money.
These people that were just blowing it off as a sports thing. Yeah, I know. I actually thought that made sense.
That was more thought went into that than we probably appreciated at the time. When we come back, the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day. And are we going to shoot for a prize here over the break? Okay, over the break, Andy will try to win a prize for Jacob Ertz of Ankeny. Will that be on FaceTime?
Yes, it will.
Go to the KXNO Facebook page. Andy will shoot, let me see, there's $25 from Berkwood Farms, $100 from Fiscus, $25, what brewery is that right there?
Mistress Andy? Brewing Company up in Ankeny.
There you go, $50 for Berkwood Farms, another brewing company, another Berkwood. So then there's $100, $200 Fiscus prizes on there. So still plenty of good prizes left. Andy will make his choice. And we'll do that on Facebook Live here coming up over the break. And then
easy.
And it is time for the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day. The AD squared. Well, you know what? I should first congratulate Andy on an accurate shot there. That was well done.
It was a good shot.
Good shot. You helped help win some beer. Our man Jacob got beer?
Yeah, he got beer from Mistress Brewing. So enjoy that. And Andy really liked that Nerf gun.
He did. He
it's fun to play with. Who doesn't like playing with
shooting,
a toy gun?
Yes. Okay, now the AD squared.
You know how much I like a foreign language calling? It's usually because they're so exuberant. They're so over the top. And even though you can't understand what they're saying, you really get a feel for how big the play was. Well, last night, a lot of people were confused by the Western Michigan fake spike touchdown to win the game. And that includes the guys calling the game for Russian TV.
Oh.
There's not much exuberance here, but there's a lot of confusion.
Вот это да! Это тачдаун! Вот это потрясающе!
Вот это да! Вот это да!
На, Джейлен Холл ловит тачдаун. Вы понимаете?
So, why is Russian TV broadcasting this game?
It's Maction, baby! Why not?
Why not?
See what's going on.
Quickie polls are presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
Let's see. Where are you now on an Iowa mask mandate? 66% say we need a mask mandate, and 34% say no mask mandate. And then a lot of debate after that, featuring some people who think they know more than doctors, of course. And then we have the NFL's choice of the weekend for Super Bowl halftime is... Who the hell is the weekend? Says 41%. 35% says meh. 13% say awful, and 11% say inspired.
Royal Mile there. Inbox at Murph underscore Andy, where you now can see Andy shooting on behalf of a listener. Gray sweatpants guy, eh? Are you gray sweatpants guy today?
I am today. Yeah, those are my warm sweatpants that I go to work out of.
Nickname, gray sweatpants guy. Uh-huh. Thanks for joining us. Stick around now. The Sports Fanatics next.